This is Building Bridges, produced and hosted by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
All day, all week, occupy Wall Street. All day, all week.
Later on Building Bridges, all day and all night, New York City's Occupy Wall Street joined countless community and labor protests. We caught up with them at the Sotheby Auction House lockout, then at a Harlem protest against Stop and Frisk, and finally downtown to a Verizon workers' contract march and protest. We begin in New York City's posh Upper East Side, where teams of local 814 art handlers have been locked out for months in a contract dispute over cutbacks and outsourcing demands by Sotheby's Auction House, which caters to the 1%.
As my brothers and sisters walk the line here after being locked out since August, we're in front of Sotheby's with Julian, who's an organizer for the local and a rank and file member. Tell us what's going on.
The fight that we have at Sotheby's is a lot like the fight that a lot of unions have today. This is a fight about good, quality, full-time jobs. The company is demanding that all new hires, all new art handlers at Sotheby's be non-union, temporary, no job security, no union protection, no benefits, no health care, basically no future. They're asking us for concessions too. They're asking us for a giant pay cut that they don't need in the year they made $680 million. But it's not so much about that. What it's really about is these good jobs for the next generation of workers. And we cannot abide by a two-tier system or a two-tier America. We're just not going for it.
If they hire new workers into those categories, what happens to the workers here already?
We will be phased out over time because the company is refusing to agree to a clause in a contract that would replace workers when they retire or quit. The company wants to not have to replace them and only replace them with temps. So basically, through attrition, over the next 2 or 3 years, we'd be talking about phasing out the entire union.
And how many workers are there, and what do they do, and what do you do? What's your job?
There's 43 of us here at Sotheby's. We're the art handlers. We do all the careful packing and wrapping, some of the world's most priceless works of art, antique furniture. We unload the trucks, uncrate things, pack and wrap, set up the exhibitions, hang paintings, light paintings, stuff like that.
And how long does it take to become proficient at a job like that? Can you walk in and do that?
You certainly can't come right off the street and know how to do it. It's sort of a lifelong learning process, and some of our workers have 20, 30 years on the job.
Workers have been out since August. What are their lives like as they are forced to walk this line?
Well, it's certainly a hardship, but if people understand that it's a hardship that they must suffer for the greater good, for the future of our families. So our families are being pinched right now, and it's not the money that a lot of guys are used to making. But, I mean, we are getting unemployment. We're getting money every week from the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. We're holding our own, and we understand that we have to suffer now to preserve good jobs for the future.
And this was a lockout. This wasn't a strike. You want to tell people what the difference is and what's happening now on the negotiations?
We've offered the company a lot of dates, and we're waiting for them to get back to us. You know, they've said publicly that they're willing to negotiate, yet they haven't even responded to us to tell us when they'd like to meet. We were offered many dates. You know, and the difference between a lockout and a strike is that we're not allowed to go back to work. We didn't start this labor disruption, they did.
Tell us a little bit about the people who run Sotheby's.
There's a lot of talk lately about the 99% and the 1%. Well, this is where the 1% does their shopping. And the CEOs of Sotheby's, Bill Ruprecht, make $60,000 a day. And they had their most profitable quarter in the history of the company recently. There's no economic need for what they're asking from us. They're trying to assert themselves anyway. They're trying to take advantage of what they thought was an anti-union climate. But I got news for them. That climate is beginning to change, and we see that right here today.
What is your relationship to, and what do you feel about the participation of Occupy Wall Street?
We stand with the occupiers at Wall Street because we understand that corporate greed in this country is out of control and that it's wrecked too many communities and too many neighborhoods and too many good jobs. And we feel like we're all in the same fight. So we're grateful to have their support. And I think together we can sort of, you know, build the kind of movement we need to see in this country.
Thank you. We are the 99%. We are the 99%. We are the 99%. We are the 99%.
We're walking around in a solidarity march with the workers from Sotheby's. You are?
My name is Cindy. I'm an adjunct professor at Hunter College.
What has this got to do with adjunct professors at Hunter?
As adjuncts, we're extremely exploited at Hunter College. We make very low wages. We work very, very hard. We teach a lot of students, and we bring in a lot of money for the college. And we can see the same thing happening at Sotheby's. The workers bring in all the money for this incredibly rich institution, and they get treated like so there's an actual material link. If we support them in their walkout in trying to fight against the lockout and fight for a fair contract, then we can get solidarity from them when we have our strike, which will hopefully happen soon.
Tell us more about the issues at Hunter.
The ethics at Hunter are mostly, we teach 60% of all of the classes at Hunter, but we make very low salaries. Adjuncts make about $2,500 to $3,000 a class, and right now they're actually threatening to take away health care for all adjuncts. We're in a very precarious situation. We don't have contracts that last for more than a semester. And I teach 90 students. I have two classes of 45 students each. They're amazing students, but I don't get time to even spend with them because there's so many of them. And, you know, we're actually really in solidarity with other workers at Hunter, too, with custodians, with cafeteria workers. There's a situation where Hunter College is reproducing society, but we're the ones actually doing the work. I mean, we get nothing, and we can't treat our students well either, so it's a bad situation all around.
One more question. What has occupied Wall Street meant to the struggles and the activities that people like yourself have been involved in?
And I think that it's opened up so much space for there to be more direct action. You know, what Occupy Wall Street shows is that we can't just ask our representatives to do something for us. We actually have to take over space. And I think that an excellent advancement from that would be to actually stop work at our workplace. And I think what Sotheby's is doing in terms of protesting their lockout in a direct way is a great example of that. And I think that, you know, hopefully what we'll see in the next month is occupations, walkouts, strikes all over the city, and hopefully even at CUNY.
Music to my ears. You're talking about Occupy New York?
Occupy Brooklyn, Occupy the Bronx, Occupy CUNY, Occupy Sotheby's, Occupy New York. Take it over.
I thought she was going to say general strike, but I guess that's where you're going.
General strike. We should all, you know, that's actually very serious. We should all be pushing for a general strike. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Sotheby's,
unfair.
Sotheby's,
unfair.
Sotheby's,
unfair.
Sotheby's,
unfair.
Yeah.
Now we go uptown to Harlem, where hundreds demonstrated in front of Harlem's 28th precinct, where 33 activists, led by noted author and Princeton professor Cornel West and veteran revolutionary fighter Carl Dix, were arrested protesting the New York City Police Department's racist, illegal, and illegitimate stop and frisk policy.
A couple of the people who are going to get arrested.
Want to address some remarks to you right now.
We're going to start off with Cornel West.
To be in Harlem.
Yes, sir.
Always a blessing to be in Harlem.
It's like coming home for me. Because when you know Harlem well, you not just have some suffering and misery, but you got some style too. And you got some joy too.
We stand here in front of the police department to say,
in the spirit of love,
we don't hate anybody.
But we love young people of all colors. But we zero in on the black and brown who are disproportionately targeted.
We care for you.
We're concerned about you. And we will go to jail for you. In the face of the corporate greed at the top. But we also know we got to bear witness.
For what we think is right.
What we think is just.
What we think is moral.
So if you got to take us to jail, get ready to take us to jail.
So if you got to take
Stop the crime.
Stop and frisk, don't stop the crime.
Stop and frisk is the crime.
Stop and frisk is the crime.
Stop and frisk, don't stop the crime.
Stop and frisk, don't stop the crime.
Stop and frisk is the crime.
Stop and frisk is the crime.
Too.
And you are my people too.
I grew up with the terminal fear.
With the terminal fear
instilled from my mother.
Instilled from my mother
to fear the police.
To fear the police.
To grow up.
To grow up.
Knowing that you will be a suspect.
Knowing that you will be a suspect.
Is an everyday reality.
As an everyday reality.
Every day I grew up.
Every day I grew up.
I had escalating incidents with the police.
I had escalating incidents with the police.
And I may look like a rabble rouser.
And I may look like a rabble rouser.
But I'm a damn Fulbright scholar.
But I'm a damn Fulbright scholar.
And the weeks before I was to depart for my trip.
And the weeks
I was assaulted by Boston police.
I was assaulted by Boston police.
They whooped my ass.
They whooped my ass.
And then charge me.
And then charge me.
With resisting arrest.
With resisting arrest.
I don't do this.
I don't do this.
Because I may be stopped and frisked again.
Because I may be stopped and frisked again.
I do this.
I do this.
For the youth I teach.
For the youth I teach.
I do this.
I do this.
For my mother.
For my mother.
For all mothers.
For all mothers.
No mother should have to raise their child.
No mother should have to raise their child.
With their sights lowered.
With their sights lowered.
No child.
No child.
Should have to grow up this way.
Should have to grow up this way.
So we need to act.
So we need to act.
Right now.
Right now.
Today.
Today.
To stop, stop, and frisk.
To stop, stop, and frisk.
Stop, stop, and frisk.
Stop, stop, and frisk.
Stop, stop, and frisk. It looks like.
It looks like.
Some vans have pulled up out there.
Some vans have pulled up out there.
They got their handcuffs.
I got their handcuffs.
And all that business.
And all that business.
But remember.
Let's remember
that what we're doing here today,
that what we're doing here today
is the beginning,
is the beginning
of a movement,
of a movement
to stop,
to stop
this illegitimate,
this illegitimate,
illegal,
illegal,
unjust,
unjust,
and racist,
and racist,
stop and frisk,
stop and frisk,
nonviolent,
nonviolent,
civil disobedience,
civil disobedience,
to launch this movement to stop, stop, and frisk.
To launch this movement to stop, stop, and frisk.
I want to bring up another brother.
I want to bring up another brother.
A brother who's joined us to do civil disobedience.
A brother who's joined us to do civil disobedience.
DJ Magnificent Zulu Nation.
DJ Magnificent Zulu Nation.
Can I get a peace?
Peace.
Unity.
Unity.
Love.
Love.
And having fun.
And having fun.
What we want.
What we want.
Knowledge, wisdom.
Knowledge, wisdom.
And a whole lot of understanding.
And a whole lot of understanding.
But I don't understand it.
But I don't understand it.
That I've been arrested at this precinct 68 times.
That I've been arrested at this precinct 68 times.
For having unity in the community.
For having unity in the community.
I was going to get a paper.
I was going to get a paper.
Then on the corner of Unity.
Then on the corner of Unity.
And I was stopped and frisked.
And I was stopped and frisked.
I was going to get a quart of milk.
I was going to get a quart of milk.
And I had to run.
And I had to run.
They wanted to know what was in my pockets.
They wanted to know what was in my
pockets. So we come out here today to be arrested to stop and frisk. Okay. Peace.
Lord.
Okay, my name is Randy. We live in a city. There are 700,000 stops and frisks this year.
There's 700,000 stops and frisks this year.
It's hard to believe.
It's hard to believe.
That's four times the amount.
That's four times the amount.
That took place.
That took place.
Under Rudy Giuliani.
Under Rudy Giuliani.
Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
Should be called Mayor Michael Lester Maddox Bloomberg.
Madam Bloomberg.
And his police commissioner, as far as I'm concerned, is Ray Bull Connor Kelly.
It has got to stop.
We need to merge with the civil rights movement embodied by Mr. Dix and Mr. West and the Reverend Phelps and everyone else up here from OWS. Will merge and form a grand civil rights movement against stops and frisks.
My name is Earl Cooper Camp. Stop and frisk is wrong. So we're here. To put our bodies on the line.
To stop and frisk.
What we start today. We take to Brooklyn. We take to Queens. We take to Staten Island. Stop and frisk. In New York City.
Okay, sisters and brothers.
It appears that the police
Have recognized
that we're going to do this.
And they're going to do what they're going to do. So we are going to stand here and make our statement. To stop and frisk.
All right, the police are setting up barricade. Putting people in pens.
Y'all sure y'all want to come in? All right, excuse me. I got to get in.
Get in.
Got to back in.
Y'all have to go in here.
Making a physical separation between those who are going to be arrested. About 30 people in front are going to be arrested. People being arrested here, black and white, old and young, male and female, some in their teens or early 20s, going to the people in the 60s, a lot of people standing up to stop, stop and frisk. Last of the protest has been arrested. Crowd here, at least 300. Beginnings of a new movement to end stop and frisk in New York City and around the country.
You are the 99%.
New infusion momentum for the civil rights movement in New York City by an alliance with Occupy Wall Street.
Show me what a police state looks like! Show me what a police state looks like!
This is what a police state looks like!
We're here with Sean at the Stop and Frisk demonstration, but frankly, no matter where I go, there's always Sean, and he's clearly one of the people involved in providing medical assistance to the people who are camped out at Occupy Wall Street. And I think our listeners should understand some of the sacrifice and what they have endured during these 6 weeks now of protest.
There's a lot of dedicated people there at Liberty Square
They've endured a lot of harsh weather, constantly being surrounded by the police, witnessing or experiencing police brutality. But everybody there is strong, is there for social and economic justice, and want to see some real change, and are going to be there for whatever it takes.
Sean, the other night it was raining. That's clearly going to happen again. Physically, what have people been enduring, and how do you cope and respond?
Well, a few days ago, we treated at least 15 patients for hypothermia. We have a medical clinic where we are able to treat people a lot better than we did before without. It is essential that we do have a medical tent there.
The kind of things that you do to sustain people, I don't know why folks are not getting depressed, and I darn well know they're getting cold and they're getting wet. So what keeps them there, and physically, what do you do to sustain people as the weather worsens and the sacrifices become even more than they were 6 weeks ago?
People are bound and determined to stay there indefinitely, and as we get into the colder weather, it'll be a lot harder to be sustainable. We do have the medical clinic there to treat people inside. We have doctors and nurses from around the country and give the best health care provided by some of the best folks. I came here for social and economic change in the system we have today. We always could use your support. Call the mayor, tell him to stop sending police out to tear down our tents. We need them to be sustainable. Thank you so much.
The chance of a huge labor rally saying we are the 99%. Standing on West Street, we are now at the third of the demonstrations that we have been at in the last 2 days that have been spurred on by the burning embers for social change and movement of Occupy Wall Street. There are hundreds and hundreds of workers chanting in support of the Verizon workers and against corporate greed.
What are we fighting? Corporate greed!
What are we fighting?
Corporate greed!
What are we fighting?
Corporate greed!
We're with Brother Rolando, who is on the bargaining committee with the Verizon workers, and he's going to give us an update on what the issues are for the Verizon workers.
Since June 22nd, we actually began formal bargaining with Verizon. 45,000 workers are affected. It's kind of disturbing for us to see that they have not come to us with almost 100 concessionary givebacks at this time when they're extremely profitable. We believe they're just taking advantage of what's happening here in America with the recession. They're just exploiting the process. The numbers does not jive. Not when they're making billions of dollars of profits. The top CEOs making $55,000 a day. And we want to expose Verizon for what it is. The poster child of corporate greed. We want to say that enough is enough. They're smashing unions, they're smashing families, smashing away American jobs and sending it overseas at the price of making more money. That's unacceptable to us. We're fighting for American workers and American jobs. And we're standing in solidarity with the Wall Street occupation because it's systemic of what's going on in America now. Corporate greed. We are the 99%. And we're trying to tell the 1% to do the right thing.
What kind of cutbacks does Verizon want from the workers?
Across the board, major concessionary cutbacks that make absolutely no sense in our opinion. At the bargaining table, and it's a long, drawn-out process, but they're wanting for retirees who are living on a fixed income. It's unconscionable for them to expect for our retirees to pay anything more than what they're paying, and that they are entitled to their benefits that they currently have. That's unacceptable to us. The outsourcing of our jobs is another problem that we're having. We're seeing that jobs are showing up in other parts of the world at the expense of American jobs. And our fight and our struggle while we're at the bargaining table is about jobs. We're willing to work with Verizon because we understand that the healthcare industry is rising costs, and we're willing to work with them to help bring down the cost. But they have to meet us halfway and be fair about the whole process.
As we stand on West Street, just describe this scene for us.
This is tremendous. We have an outpouring of about several hundred people that are out here. We're getting ready to march down to Zuccotti Park to show our solidarity. It is a diverse group of people from various unions and the Occupy Wall Street. The drums that are playing is again, this is the face of America. This is the face of democracy.
We're
We're here with a young sister from Occupy Wall Street with a large red flag. She was also dancing her way through this large picket line of people who were saying hell no to Verizon corporate greed. Tell me what your purpose and your instinct is being here.
My purpose and instinct is to make a better world for all of us. Everybody, not just the corporate greed, the domestic violence, the police brutality, the schools being closed, everything. Everything under the sun that is wrong needs to be changed in this world. I'm tired. As you can hear, my voice is gone, chanting for 3 weeks. I'm done. I'm tired. Things need to change. And if they don't change, then I guess we're going to be out here for a long time in the cold. I've also thought about forming marches with three-piece suits down Wall Street like we're one of the workers there. I really hope this works, and I hope we really get a change. I really do.
And you are?
My name is Candy, and I'm 24 years old.
And Candy, where are you from?
Brooklyn, New York.
Oh, hey. And you are, brother?
Oh, my name is Joel Burton, and I'm from Westchester, New York. I'm here because I love my country, and we can do better, man. Like, economic disparity is ridiculous. When you have 1% who controls 40% of the 12, obviously there's something wrong with that math. Everything is interconnected. A lot of people think about trickle-down economics, but it's really, the world is trickle-down. You start with, you know, people at the top, obsessed with greed, obsessed with materialism, obsessed with what they can gain at the expense of others. Obviously, you're going to have those who are being screwed over are going to rise up after a while, and this is that moment.
Joelle and Candy, thanks for being here, and thanks for also creating the ember and the spark that is bringing ever larger numbers of people together.
Hey, hey, ho, ho, corporate greed has got to go.
Well, this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.